I want to turn your attention today to the Psalm number 16. It is Easter, and we remember particularly the death and burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And in Psalm 16 we have an Old Testament prophecy concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we want to read this psalm together, the Psalm number 16. And in this psalm we read, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. We want to seek the Lord just for a moment of prayer and ask for his blessing even upon the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks once again for the opportunity to turn to thy word. And we thank thee that wherever we turn in thy word, that we see the Lord Jesus, he is set before us. And we pray that as we consider him, that we who are saved will be drawn closer to him. That any who are unsaved or out of Christ will be drawn to him even for salvation. We thank thee for the one who was dead but is alive and is alive forevermore. We thank thee for the one who ever lives to intercede for us. And we pray that there will be those who, even at this particular time of the year, will experience a spiritual resurrection and pass from death onto thy marvellous life. Do bless again our land and our nation in these days. Remember our congregations. Remember even our missionaries as well. Remember our medical staff. We pray in the midst of all that is taking place around us, that thou wilt even preserve life, that thou wilt give help to those who even minister to the sick. And remember those who have been bereaved. May they know thy comfort and thy grace even in these days. So, Lord, hide your word in our hearts once again. We ask this day in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalms, like the rest of the Word of God, point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his person and his work as the only Redeemer of God's elect. In Luke chapter 24 and the verse 36, we read of the risen Saviour standing in the midst of his disciples as they gathered, speaking to them and saying, "Peace be unto you." And as the Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples in Luke 24 and the verse 44, he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And there the Lord Jesus was saying to the disciples, now that he was risen from the dead, that he had told them before his death, of his coming death, and of the fact that he would die and be buried, but that he would rise again. He had shown them from the Old Testament scriptures how this had been prophesied. Yes, in, as he puts it there, the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In the prophets, we can think of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on. And he speaks also of the Psalms. And he says the things that were written, even in the Psalms concerning him, had to be fulfilled. And he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus was making it clear there that the Psalms, just like every other part of the Old Testament, had prophesied concerning his suffering unto death and his resurrection again from the dead. And as we think of the Psalms, we can think of Psalm 22, for example, a very prominent psalm that prophesied of the sufferings unto death of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. That psalm which opens with those words which the Lord Jesus many years later would cry from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That psalm which prophesied how his hands and his feet would be pierced, how his garments would be parted, and yet that psalm that also spoke of the glory that would follow his sufferings. We can think also of Psalm 24. It is a psalm which prophesied of the ascension of the Lord Jesus back into heaven as the King of Glory. And part of the Psalm 24 reads like this: "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." So we can think of psalms that prophesied of the suffering unto death of the Saviour, that psalm that prophesied of his ascension back to glory. But in this Psalm 16 that we have read from today, we're left in no doubt, as we read the Word of God, that this psalm prophesied of the resurrection of the Saviour. And if we were in any doubt, all we would need to do is to turn to Acts chapter 2. If you read Acts chapter 2 and the record of Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter quoted from this Psalm 16 and made it clear that David, as a prophet, foresaw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in this psalm. Let me read from Acts chapter 2 and the verse 25. Where Peter said, he said first of all in verse 24, "Of Christ whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." And here Peter is quoting from the words of David in Psalm 16. And he said in verse 29, having quoted the psalm, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." And so, there can be no doubt, Peter declared there, in Acts chapter 2, as he preached, he declared that when David spoke the words that we have read in Psalm 16, that he was prophesying concerning the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We find indeed later in the book of Acts, the chapter 13, the verses 35 to 37, the Apostle Paul on one of his missionary journeys, and he also quoted from this psalm with regard to the resurrection of the Saviour. Acts 13 and the verse 35, wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell in sleep and was led on to his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. And again, Paul was showing that in that psalm, David had been prophesying of the resurrection of the Saviour. And of course, this was prophesied in the psalm because it was all part of God's eternal purpose. And therefore, God was able to show David all those years beforehand that his son would come, he would live, he would die, and he would rise again. Peter, in his first letter writing of the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come, he wrote that the Spirit of Christ in them testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And so, for a little time today, I want us to come to this Psalm 16, and especially the verses 8 to 11 of the psalm, and see how the Lord Jesus is set before us, how he was prophesied of, and how particularly there was the prophecy with regard to his resurrection from the dead. But as we think of these verses 8 to 11 of Psalm 16, we want to see, first of all, concerning Christ, his desire to glorify his Father. You will see here in Psalm 16 and in the verse 8, and keep in mind that, yes, while David penned the psalm, he was writing of Christ, and it is as if Christ was speaking, therefore, in the psalm. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord Jesus, when he was here upon earth, always had the glory of his Father before him in all that he sought to do. He came as one who delighted to do the will of his Father. If you take the time to read through John's Gospel, for example, you read many of the words of the Lord Jesus recorded, where he emphasized that he had been sent by the Father, that it was his meat to do the will of his Father that sent him and to finish his work. He spoke of how he always did those things that pleased his Father. And in the laying down of his life and the taking up of his life again, in John 10 he declared he was obeying the Father's will. In John chapter 17, as he prayed on that occasion so close to the time when he would go to the cross, he prayed that the Father would glorify him as a son, that he might glorify the Father. And he went on to say that he had glorified his Father upon earth, and in finishing the work that he was sent to do. You remember the Father publicly declared that he was well pleased with his son at his baptism. He also made that declaration on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when we, as sinners, turn from our sin and trust in Christ for salvation, we are saved and kept for the glory of God. And we are to do all in life for the glory of God. We are to let our light shine before men, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I wonder today, do you know Christ as your Saviour? Do you know God as your Father? For we have considered the desire that Christ had to glorify his Father. But I want you to see secondly in the psalm how Christ depended upon his Father. In this verse 8 of the psalm, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The Lord Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, of course, is equal in power and glory with the Father. And yet he humbled himself to come into this world as the servant of God. And therefore, he came as one depending upon his Father for the power to do and to finish the work that he was sent to do. The Father was at his right hand. Therefore, he would be successful. Again, I encourage you to read through the Gospel of John, and you will find again and again the Lord Jesus speaking of his dependence upon his Father and the assurance that his Father would be with him. For example, in John 8, in verse 16, as he addressed the Pharisees, who did not want to believe his witness, which Christ bore to himself, the Lord Jesus said to them, "For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." The Father was with him. He was depending on the Father. Later, in John 8, verse 29, the Lord Jesus said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Again, he emphasized the Father had not left him alone. He was depending upon his Father. And he said this in the context of telling the unbelieving religious leaders that when they would lift him up to die on the cross, they would know then that he was the Messiah. Again, in John's Gospel, this time chapter 16 and the verse 32, the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples that they would be scattered. They would leave him alone, but he could say also, "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And then when you enter into John chapter 17 and find the Lord Jesus praying to his Father, even praying concerning his cross work, praying that the Father would glorify him, that he might glorify the Father, he was showing his dependence upon his Father. And for every saved sinner, we are to depend upon our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus taught us in prayer to address our prayers to our Father, which art in heaven. And in that pattern prayer, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray with dependence upon our Father. In John 17, when the Lord Jesus was praying for his disciples whom he had kept while he was in the world, he prayed that the Father would keep them when he would no longer be in the world in the body. And therefore we're reminded of our dependence upon our Heavenly Father. Of course, if you are unsaved and out of Christ, you cannot truly call God your Father. You need to trust Christ as your Saviour, turn from your sin, and then you will know God as your Father. It brings us to a third thought in this psalm. Yes, we have considered how the Saviour had that desire to glorify his Father. We've considered how he depended upon his Father. But I want you to see in the third place his delight that his Father would raise him from the dead. In verse 9 he said, "Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope." So he's thinking there of his death, and yet there's gladness. There's a rejoicing. Does it not remind us that in Hebrews 12 and 2 we read that the Lord Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame because of the joy that was set before him, the joy of finishing the work he was sent to do, the joy of what that would accomplish, the salvation of his people. And so in Psalm 16 and 9, this gladness and joy is being prophesied of. And part of the gladness and the rejoicing was in the fact that the Lord Jesus was confident that his Father would raise him from the dead. And so he goes on in verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." In other words, the soul would be separated from the body at death, but it wouldn't be for very long. It wouldn't be left separated. Body and soul would be reunited again in the resurrection. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Though dead for a time, there would be no corruption that would set in as far as the Saviour was concerned. And then he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." He would be shown the path of life in the sense he would be risen again from the dead, and he would ascend back to the Father into his presence where there's that fullness of joy. He would be exalted back to the right hand where there are those pleasures forevermore. And as Peter declared in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost. These words were fulfilled concerning Christ. God raised him from the dead because it was not possible that death could hold him. Peter also spoke in Acts 2 and 33 of the fact that the risen Christ had been exalted to the right hand of God. He had received from the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which had now been shed forth. The one who was dead is alive, and is alive forevermore. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And because he is alive, all who trust him experience a spiritual resurrection. And all who die in Christ will rise again. This is the blessed hope of the gospel. Or if you're unsaved, in the words of the hymn writer, we would say to you, come to the Saviour, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come, repent, and believe the gospel. Without trusting Christ the Saviour, there is no hope of heaven. There is only that terrible place called hell. And yet when we trust Christ for salvation, we can say, with the words of another hymn, joyful, joyful will the meeting be when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather Saviour with thee in our eternal home. What a day it will be when Christ returns, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, because Christ arose as the first fruits, and there'll be that resurrection unto life for believers. But of course, for the unconverted, there'll be the resurrection unto damnation. Oh, on this Easter Sunday and over this Easter period, consider the Saviour. Consider how his resurrection was prophesied of here in this Psalm 16, just as his sufferings unto death were prophesied of in the Psalms. So his resurrection and his ascension back to the right hand, all that has been fulfilled. And thank God we now look forward to his coming again. Thank you for listening, and may God bless his word to your heart today.